And we're welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. We're going to be talking for the next 15 minutes with author Rudy Apodaca, who is joining us by phone. Rudy, thanks so much for coming on today.
And thank you all for having me on your show.
So your latest novel has a connection to something that actually is very near and dear to us here and is taking place this Saturday. The Bataan Memorial Death March, which happens every year at White Sands Missile Range. Your novel has a connection to that. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, well, thank you, Walt. Well, actually, the prologue of the book starts off with the Memorial March at White Sands back in 2012. I could not make that the present because if I went forward 13, 14 years to 2026, most of those individuals that were POWs back then are past.
Yeah.
You know, they're dead. They'd be over 100. The last one, the survivor, was last year, and he couldn't make it to White Sands, but he died 2-3 months later. He was 104.
Yeah.
So, but I interviewed my POWs back in 2001, 2002, and they were very much alive, and of course, they're all dead now. But yes, the book deals with the war in the Philippines. The regiment from the New Mexico National Guard was fighting the Japanese for only 4 months when their general surrendered them to the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, they spent about 2.5 to 3 years in POW camps. That's what the book is about.
So I'm sorry to be joining a little late. This is Nancy Baker. Is this a fictional work or nonfiction?
Yes, it is fictional, Nancy. Thank you for asking that. The book says very clearly, and I say it in the foreword, that although it's a work of fiction, it's based on real and actual events.
That's, and in fact, sounds like you did a lot of research for it.
I did do a lot of research, exactly. But even though fiction, the characters in it are fictional, obviously no one, including me, was back in the Philippines in 42.
Mm-hmm.
To find out or record what the soldiers said to each other. So in a book like this, it's what's called historical fiction.
Yeah.
It's done all the time. People write about historical events, but they fictionalize the characters in it.
Yeah,
sure.
And it really brings the story home then. People can empathize more. They understand more.
Exactly. Exactly. And even though I say it's about the war in the Philippines and the POW endurance to the brutal treatment they received, it's really a much broader, I feel it's the events in it are take place in the war, but the book is about something broader. It has to do with life in general. It has to do with people that live with fear, acceptance, uncertainty,
yes,
anger—all those things existed for these POWs, but they exist in life in other contexts.
It's like a microcosm.
Exactly, exactly. I view the book as, even though they're about POWs, it's about the people living their life, the people in it. It deals with life issues everywhere, not just in the context of war.
Yeah,
I had a chance, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so, to talk to the survivors, and just one of the most inspirational days of my life. I mean, so I assume it had the same kind of impact on you when you had that opportunity.
It certainly did. You know, I interviewed these POWs back in 2001, 2002. My wife and I moved to Austin in September 2004, and I wrote two novels in that period, the 20 years that we were in Austin. But these POWs stayed in my mind. The seed of their story germinated in my mind for that time, and I finally decided to put it down to words. And I originally wrote a synopsis for a screenplay, but that didn't do very well, so I went ahead and decided to do a novel. I might say that, you know, the book deals with that, but also deals with the importance of memories in our lives,
mm-hmm.
because not only did these people, these POWs, have to undergo and endure what was they were treated in the Philippines, but what they had to deal with later were the memories of this. So that was their final struggle.
Yeah.
For the memories for years.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of these prisoners would not talk about what happened to them or what happened at all.
Yeah.
Until many years later.
In fact, at that time, there really wasn't an understanding of PTSD or trauma and how that could affect you later in life. So maybe
exactly.
One way they processed it is coming and walking doing the Bataan Death March every year or so. Is that how that started?
That program started it with the ROTC,
right.
The Army ROTC at New Mexico State, and they started for 2 or 3 years, and then the National Guard got involved, the New Mexico National Guard, and so the two of them were sponsors. But then White Sands got involved. So I don't know how exactly they got involved, but they decided to hold a march there. And now the people, the staffs at White Sands are the ones that administer and do the planning for this.
Yeah, so, and I think it's a very good way to honor those men who went through this.
One of the things I remember them, so many of them saying, was they were afraid that once they died, everybody would forget about what they had done.
You know what? When doing my research, that turned out not to be the case, because there's plenty of references, plenty of books on the subject, my being one of them. Even though it's fictionalized, I think mine encompasses the whole. If people read this book, they'll feel. In fact, somebody that read it told me my protagonist's name is Mick Duran, and he said the reader should be Mick Duran. They feel like they're Mick Duran. I felt like I was Mick Duran because of the events that took place. The book is, yes, about that, but it also talks about the ugliness of war.
Yeah.
So it talks about that, and that's brought to Mick Duran meets a Japanese officer, and they communicate and have conversations. And in that way, I did that to bring the perspective of the Japanese into the picture, because all that the prisoners knew is how they were treated by the guards. They knew nothing about the Japanese culture. And I make it very clear at the end that you can't judge a whole culture with what happened to these prisoners in the Philippines.
Oh, excellent. So what is the name of your book, and is it available locally here in Las Cruces?
Yes, it is. The name of the book is A Life Uninvited. Now, that might seem like a strange title for a book about war in the Philippines, but the way I came up about I was thinking about a title, and because what happens, the protagonist is 22 years of age and is engaged to be married to his high school sweetheart when the book starts. And the National Guard unit is activated. They're sent to the Philippines, and he has to fight a war, and then he has to undergo 2.5 years imprisonment. So I was telling my wife about, I'm looking for a title, and she said, "What about A Life Postponed?" I said, that sounds good, I said. But you know what? That's about the life that was postponed here in the U.S. This book is about the life that he had in the Philippines. So that was unwelcome to his life, to him. That was uninvited, and that's where the title came from.
Very interesting.
Am I right that you're going to have an event here in Las Cruces coming up?
Yes, I have a book signing. First of all, let me just say that you talked about Memorial March. I will be there all day Friday signing my book at the booth of an outfit called Remember Bataan Foundation out of Las Cruces. They sell books there every year in memorabilia, and they asked me to go ahead and sign my book, and they're selling it. So I'm going to that event on Friday. Saturday morning, I'm going to get up real early to go to the Memorial March that starts at 7 o'clock a.m. on Saturday. I'm going to leave White Sands about 9:30. They get back to Las Cruces at 10:30 because I have the book signing at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So that's at Cause Books Bookstore on North Main.
So you've got a busy day coming up this Saturday. Well,
yes,
you've got
I
a busy
have
weekend.
Two busy days,
that's
yeah.
right, that's right.
So on Saturday at COAS, downtown on Main, 11 to 1 p.m., people can meet
exactly.
you, talk a little more, get your book, and have you sign it.
Yes, and Mike Beckett was very kind to say that individuals that have purchased the book elsewhere, like on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or any other bookstore, are welcome to come and bring their book to me on Saturday, and he'll allow us to sign it even though they haven't purchased the book there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Mike's
but
a
of course, the idea is I want as many people to come to wait and then purchase the book at COAS because Mike has them on stock. Now, if he doesn't have enough, I hope I brought a lot from Austin.
And this is your fifth book, is that right?
It is my fifth novel. Yes, it is. And the first one was back in 1977, so there's been quite a span.
Right.
I write like every 10 or 12 years.
You have an interesting experience, your professional, and now underneath it all, the threat of being a novelist.
Yes, you know, a lot of people say, you know, because I was a judge, I was on the
yes.
Court of Appeals for 14 years, and so a lot of people that know that I write fiction, that I write novels, they say, how did you get, you know, interested in fiction and writing fiction? I said, you know what? I read and reviewed a lot of briefs from attorneys on the appeals to our court, and it had a lot of fiction in it.
You saw your picture of fiction.
I got experience.
We are down to our last minute, Rudy. It's been terrific talking with you. I want to remind people just one more time, you're going to be at COAS, and give us that one more time, and we're going to have to...
Okay. I'll be at COAS Bookstore on North Main in Las Cruces this coming Saturday, the 21st of March, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And actually, it'll run over if there's a lot
sure.
of people. So I encourage any listener to go ahead and come down and to meet me and hopefully purchase the book and have it signed. I will sign it for them.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Okay, that's terrific. And thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Yep.
Okay, Walt, Nancy, thank you so much for having me on your program.
Thank you.